Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Ryan, do you want to pick some of those starred responses to today's YouTube live chat poll? You can read a few of those. I'll read it for you guys while we will read the results in about 50 minutes from now, a little bit less than that. Grade the Harris-Walz campaign strategy so far. Brad, your grade was?
A D.
Ryan, your grade?
BC.
Mine was a C minus. What are our listeners saying right now on our YouTube?
Bill says, I gave it a D because I can't really tell what their strategy is or if they have one. G-Wibbs says, I give their strategy an A. It's working for them to only speak in platitudes with no specifics. It's directed at low information, emotion-driven voters. All fluff, no substance.
Do you feel like their non-strategy is their strategy, or
yes.
Do you feel like they have no? They're not just listless.
Correct. I do believe that their strategy is to be as broad and non-specific as possible, so that it really does just feel like you're voting on feelings. And I think they're actually executing that.
She makes me feel bad.
she makes me feel bad too.
She does not make me feel good.
Yeah. It's an interesting strategy, and again, only one that they can pull off because they got zero delegates and she had to go through no process. That is the only way that you could get away with doing this.
Any more?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I didn't know if we're still doing it. Like, oh, she's transitioning into the next thing.
Stop talking about it. Just do it.
Okay. Get off my lawn, says...
Excuse me?
I
Are you talking to me?
Maybe. I have to absolutely agree with Doug. They're killing it. They keep Kamala relatively quiet and running on joy. And though I take polls with a huge grain of salt, she's doing very well. I would assume that's an A. He didn't say. Lori says, F. She is just saying all the policies pretty much the same as Trump. She will not actually talk about the policies she is supposedly going to put forward and talks about what she wants people to.
Imagine that she doesn't put anything up on her website, or never, maybe she might not ever put anything really substantive up on her website. She's going to wait until after the debate, which will be after voting has begun. I mean, at some point, every day that passes is an advantage to her. And if she's still in the polls, tied or a little bit above, would she risk cratering her support with whomever hasn't voted yet by saying, yeah, I can see what Hamas is doing? Like, her positioning, her splitting hairs on the issue in the Middle East, to me, it's like you can't put up some policies without putting up all policies, without being very obvious that you're leaving some out. So if she puts up some of those policies, she's going to have to put a written position on what's going on in the Middle East in words. And I don't think that I don't think you can string words together that makes one side or the other believe them.
Yeah, it's weird because for so long we've watched Joe Biden and said, you know, he probably isn't completely aware of a lot of the policies that are coming out of his own office. But now she's doing that. And you thought, well, it's because he's losing his marbles. She's not. She's got, you know, a full brain capacity. But it still seems as if she's not talking about any policies, hasn't released anything. And the only things we've gotten are little leaks from campaign that you go, well, is she even aware of these things? She probably is, but we don't know for sure. So it's as if the same, they're just doing the same thing with Biden as they are with her, and she's fine with it.
All right. Well, I've never heard of IHIP News. Have you heard of that? IHIP News?
No, never heard of IHIP.
It's a podcast, and it's Jennifer Welch and Angie Pumps Sullivan.
Oh, this is Jennifer Welch and Angie Pumps podcast.
Shush. Sissy. You were about to meet them for the first time, I suspect.
Yes.
They have a podcast. Okay, it's a Democrat leftist podcast. Like when you go listen to somebody on the right and you're like, outraged because they're saying conservative things. You're like, you went into the conservative. I don't know. People do that on our show every day on YouTube.
Every day.
Every day. And we love you. So J.B. Pritzker goes on to this podcast, and this is a little bit older, August 23rd. You remember the irony behind Bernie Sanders being like, billionaires suck. And then the DNC is like, yay, next J.B. Pritzker. That's how that went. And it was kind of weird and it was kind of ironic. But the question is, how do you swing that? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you reconcile that? And the Democrat Party had no problem with it. So he sits down on this podcast and I came across this. I think it's Illini Jen on Twitter. And I want to give her a shout out because that's how I found it. It's the I've Had It podcast. That's the IHIP. This is going to make people mad because I know this because it made me mad. I was mad in front of my kids. My kids were like enthralled by what I was saying at home, but mostly because they're like, why is mommy so upset about this? Because normally I wouldn't watch this stuff at home, but it was a long weekend and I came across it and I'm, so I'm going to play this and we're going to go in and out of it. But he's sitting down in a chair with these two women on this podcast. And let's just...
That is the country that I grew up in. That is the country I want restored. And Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are going to do that.
Okay.
I love that. Okay, I have a question. You're the perfect person to ask. I'm reading about all these billionaires that support Donald Trump. I can't wrap my head around it because I assume they're smart, they're innovative, all of these things. So why do you think the billionaire class supports Donald Trump?
So he's sitting there and he's like, his eyebrow, he kind of puts his eyebrows up like, you know, I'm a billionaire, right? She says all the billionaires are supporting Trump. He is a billionaire who just spoke about not supporting Trump.
His views, the backwardsness.
I always feel a little bit of defensiveness whenever I hear things like that, you know, because I understand, you know, I spoke on Tuesday night, and because of some schedule movement, you know, I ended up speaking right after Bernie Sanders.
Why is that funny? Are these people Bernie Sanders people, or are they billionaires or good people? And he qualifies that there were some schedule changes. There was nobody who could go in between Bernie Sanders and JB.
And Bernie Sanders was, you know, he's Bernie Sanders, right? And
you know
you know exactly what he's going to say.
Right.
But he was railing against wealthy
billionaires,
you know.
Yeah.
And whenever I hear people sort of talk about the billionaire class, I know they're talking about other people.
Yeah. Not me.
Like to sit there and immediately from the jump be like, this is like, you know, I have a billionaire friend.
And not me, because I'm a progressive, right?
Right.
I mean, I really believe I tried to get a graduate income tax passed and put into our constitution in the state of Illinois, because guess what? Wealthy people should pay a higher rate than average working people, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. That, by the way, Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, would be a Democrat today if he were alive,
right.
A great Illinoisan.
What?
Abraham Lincoln was the first person to advocate for and get the federal government to institute a graduated income tax.
He is the literal father of the Republican Party. And this man has the gall. I think I pulled a muscle in my, I think I just hurt my shoulder extra in rage over this. Abraham Lincoln would be a Democrat today. Is this the JFK would be a Republican today? Countermeasure. These people have no understanding of what Abraham Lincoln was doing when he went into government and then eventually the presidency. Is it not completely lost on J.B. Pritzker, who is the governor of the land of Lincoln, to understand that the father of the Republican Party, the goodness that he had, the understanding of the things that Abraham Lincoln was willing to risk in an attempt to lose it all in order to unite it all. And the understanding of individual worth and value versus the big government mentality that reigns supreme in the Democrat Party. His flippant comment there, he's like, oh, by the way, Abe Lincoln, my boy, he'd have been a Democrat today. There is nothing about this Democrat Party that Abraham Lincoln would align with. And to suggest like the one detail that Abraham Lincoln, something with a graduated income tax, which J.B. Pritzker, you failed in Illinois to pass the graduated income tax. What a boob.
So I only mention that because, I think there are people, you know, like Elon Musk and kind of the little bit of that tech bro class who have decided that they know better how government ought to be than the rest of the country. And they ought to be in charge.
Okay, so let's just interject here real quick. Elon Musk is what? Let's all say it together. A private citizen. Elon Musk is a private citizen who has a say in how government goes because he's an American. J.B. Pritzker is in government. J.B. Pritzker is there as a representative of the highest office in the state of Illinois. He is there in public service. Elon Musk is incredibly wealthy. When you want to bring Elon Musk into the conversation because he's a billionaire, how did J.B. Pritzker make his money?
Inheritance.
He was born, thankfully, because his parents chose to have him. And then he got rich because he was born. Elon Musk invents things in his sleep. He has made his wealth. He is affecting the lifestyle of every single person in the world through his inventions. So yes, he has a lot of wealth. It's not the same. And the Democrats, they don't differentiate when they're talking about millionaire taxes or whatever. They don't differentiate in how you make your money. The policy is really billionaires bad. Pay your fair share.
And even though they are a small minority, they believe they can buy their way into control.
Oh.
And they're doing it with Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't.
You want to talk about buying your way into control?
Oh,
Mr. spent $323 million to buy two terms as the governor of the state of Illinois. And this is where I'm so sad to remind you that there aren't term limits in the state of Illinois, which means in 2 years from now, he could fork over another $150 million of his inherited money to make sure that his lordship could stay over the land of now Democrat Abraham Lincoln for perpetuity. He has the stones to sit here and say that Elon Musk, by virtue of spending the money that Elon Musk made over his technological stratosphere that he's created, that Elon Musk has made his wealth in the United States of America because he did something and he went somewhere and he created things, that the money that he made when he purchased Twitter is him trying to purchase power when he sits there and he spent over $320 million to make sure that no Democrat could challenge him in the primary and that no Republican would beat him in a general election. Is he self-unaware? Or is he so used to being born with a silver spoon in his mouth that when he says these things, he is not challenged? He is not put in a position where he has to answer to people who go, "What the hell are you talking about? Don't you understand the hypocrisy here?" I don't think that he does understand the hypocrisy there because he's never been challenged. He can buy his way, just like a spoiled kid can buy his way out of maybe bad grades or disciplinary problems. He's always been able to get out of it because of his money. And he doesn't respect his money because he didn't earn his money. And he has the guts to sit here and talk about Elon Musk purchasing power because he has a lot of money.
Like Elon Musk or know Elon Musk very well. But you know what? Elon Musk basically offered him a bunch of money and a platform. And guess what? All of a sudden, Donald Trump is thinking, oh, maybe he's for electric vehicles. You know, I mean, they're buying their way.
Right.
The control is going to these folks who are buying their way. And we've got to stand up against it, right? And I don't, you know, I'm defensive when people talk about just every wealthy person is somehow bad. I know that's
present
not
company
what you
excluded.
Mean. I appreciate that, but it's not just me. There really are some great people
absolutely
out there
of
who
course
care deeply, and I can think of lots of them in Chicago and across the country. But, you know, they don't get talked about much because guess what? They're not selfish. They don't need to have the spotlight on themselves. They're
right
not trying to buy control. In fact, their beliefs are, and there are lots of people like this, their beliefs are that, you know, the vast majority of Americans really should be dictating, you know, the direction of the country. People who really need government, you know, need us to have a government that's there for them. Right. And so we ought to have that, right? We ought to be supporting people appropriately, especially working families out there and the most vulnerable. And that's what I think Democratic Party stands for. And again, lots of supporters out there for that idea who happen to be wealthy. But I don't like it, just like you don't, when people like Donald Trump, he's very wealthy. Not as wealthy as he says he is, but he's very wealthy, and he's very selfish, and he's a narcissist. And that's kind of what the rest of those folks who support him are like, too. They're wealthy, they're narcissists. They think because they're successful, they must be smarter than and better than everyone else. So they're going to go with the guy who's going to carry out the policies that are going to enrich them. Which is, you know, their whole goal in the end.
Do you understand that this billionaire, this family-made billionaire, is talking about good billionaires and bad billionaires? And he's talking about how the wealthy need to pay their fair share. This guy took the toilets out of his house so he could pay less in his property taxes, so it was uninhabitable. He gamed the system. And he wants to talk about how Republicans are not paying their fair share if they're billionaires, if they're the bad kind of billionaires. He doesn't pay his fair share on an equal, even playing field. He manipulates the system so that he can pay less money in taxes when he, above all people, could afford to pay the taxes, even if we're just talking even Stevens, like the same kind of percentage of taxes that you would have to pay on your home. He modifies things so he can pay less in taxes. Nothing stopping you from writing a big fat check to the Illinois state government, to the federal government, to pay whatever you feel is your fair share. But you should actually start with being paid with what is asked of you, J.B. Pritzker, and stop lording yourself over the state of Illinois to tell us about the mean, scary, bad billionaires who are selfish. You're the most selfish of them all. You're the most obviously narcissistic of them all. And you think that you're going to stand. There is no greater definition of narcissism to me than the person who wants to impose more taxes, greater taxes on the citizens of the state of Illinois, the ones who are left, who haven't gone to different states, whether it's across the state border or down south or wherever it might be, to get away from your oppressive policies, to stand on the stage after Bernie Sanders condemns the bad billionaires in front of the entire DNC while he has three homes, and then you come up next and you're like, but I'm the good one. It's outrageous. And for whatever reason, the people of Illinois continue to choose it. We need to clean these voter rolls right now, because if the voter rolls end up being clean in the state of Illinois, I don't know if the likes of J.B. Pritzker will be around that long. At least maybe make him double his investment in his own candidacy the next time he runs. If he's not going to be the president candidate in 2028, should Kamala lose. This guy is insufferable. He's so arrogant. He is so narcissistic. He is so satisfied with his lot in life that he could never possibly understand you, and he has no desire to. If he can always punch his own ticket with his own wallet to do whatever he wants in the state of Illinois and honestly run cover for the Democrat Party, which is why the DNC convention was in Chicago in the first place, the state of Illinois will continue to be doomed. He has got to go.
I would have expected more from Angie Pumps. But
in your experience?
Yeah. I mean, as a fan of the I've Had It podcast, normally Jennifer Welch and Angie Pumps kind of give a little back and forth, and they didn't really push back on him at all.
Present company excluded. Ha ha ha.
The one thing, though, the hypocrisy of that clip is really astonishing. You don't have to be a Republican to hear that and go, hey, no way on there, JB.
Yeah.
But the one thing that kept jumping out at me is that, because that's the first time I've heard that, he's taking a shot at the quote-unquote billionaire class, buying their way in. Of course, that's very hypocritical. The one guy he's taking a shot at is Elon Musk over and over and over. Consider the top social media brands that you know. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. All of them are run by the left except one. He's so insecure about the one dissenting voice that he's got to push on that one. The rest of them are fine. The rest of them are also happen to be owned by billionaires. But that one, because it's a different kind of free speech. The kind of free speech we like is the kind that censors the things we don't like. That's good free speech. We don't like this kind of free speech over here. He's got to press on that one.
And don't forget that Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey of Twitter in the last election were hyper aggressive at infiltrating and manipulating outcomes within the system to the benefit of the Democrat Party. Not a peep about those. Oh, man.
And we just don't like billionaires who want to assert their influence into things, into elections and things. No mention of exactly what you just said. Mark Zuckerberg 2020, nothing. That's fine.
The worst thing that Elon Musk has done is given conservatives the ability to communicate.
Yes. Yes.
That's way different than Zuckerberg's inside campaign areas and messing, which he has since come out and been like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Right.
And then you look at Jack Dorsey coming out and saying, man, we really blew it in the last election with how we chose to manage our information. Elon Musk is just like, everybody can pretty much say everything. And he's the villain here. Well, when you fantasize about how big government can be with every waking minute, yeah, that would be a problem. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today, grade the Harris-Walz campaign strategy so far. You can give it an A, a B/C, a D, or an F. I didn't think about that for a second. Let us know what you think and go leave your vote there. You had one story you were going to talk about. Was this the last one you mentioned?
Well, yeah.
Kamala Harris.
It's getting off the plane or getting on the plane.
I when I saw this, I thought to myself, that's a pretty basic move when you don't want to talk to people. So
basic like you basic or basic like it's easy.
Which do you think I meant?
First one?
No.
Okay.
No, like standard.
Okay.
Tell us a story of what happened first.
Okay. Vice President Kamala Harris brushed past reporters and boarded Air Force Two on Monday with her cell phone out and headphones firmly planted in both ears. A time-honored trick in Washington to avoid pesky questions from the press. But the reason that it's making news is because she's wearing ear pods and holding the phone up. So she was either doing a whole lot at once or none of those things.
Because the earbuds had cords, so they weren't cordless, right. Bluetooth, which my understanding is that you cannot in government use Bluetooth for communication.
Security reasons.
Mm-hmm. The question I have you ever faked being on a phone call to avoid talking to people or being approached by somebody?
I don't know that I've ever faked being on a phone call. I think I probably have faked getting a text.
How does that distract you enough?
Well,
are you just like, oh.
It may somebody text. Like, I've actually entered situations, and don't ask me to remember what it was because I don't remember. But I know that because I remember talking to my wife and saying, hey, at about such and such time.
Text me.
So that I can go, oh, shoot, my wife's texting me. I'm going to have to go. So I have done that.
But you're too honest to just be like, oh, my wife texted me?
Yeah, I got to actually have her text me. I'm not going to lie.
Does the text just say, text.
It just says, hey, what up, boo?
Have you ever faked a phone call or a distraction or something like that to avoid talking to people or being approached?
Not a phone call. I've used other distractions. I've definitely bailed on conversations like this is not going anywhere. It's like, well, anyway, I got to get back to doing whatever this is.
Well, that's just...
That's pretty normal.
That's just...
Okay.
I don't think it's normal. I think it's more honest than normal.
Well, me and Brad do that to each other literally every day. Because one of us will go talk to the other one, and the other one's doing work,
but
and we go, hey, I got to do this thing.
That's different. You're coworkers, and you can have those forward conversations and respect that the other... Like, what Brad is saying he does is just the honest truth. It's more honest than being like, oh, my wife's texting me. I got to, you know... Which I don't... I guarantee you I've faked phone calls before, like, especially in a situation where you're sitting and waiting in a maybe more confined space where it's like, I just don't, it's more about creating an environment where I wouldn't be approached rather than trying to get out of something I'm already in. It's trying to stop it from starting. Once it's started, I think it's a little more difficult.
With the size of your entourage, that's not that hard to do.
I have four kids. They're everywhere with me. I actually am only trying to avoid them from talking to me.
Now, I'll tell you what I will do is if I'm going to be in a place where I know I have to leave at an exact time because I got to pick my kid up from a practice or I got to be, sometimes it'll be I got to come here to be on the Mark Cox Morning Show on Fridays or something. Like an exact time I have to be here. I will set my alarm on my phone for the time I have to leave so that if I'm with somebody talking with them, the alarm will break into the conversation and remind both of us that I have to leave right now.
But you're not comfortable. Like you need a technical wingman to get you out of the situation. You can't just be like, well, it's 2:45. I really got to jump. I got to be a place.
Well, I can do that and will do that, but it's the extra, like, here's your last case alarm. You have to leave now.
But that sounds like it's more for you.
Yeah, it is.
Than it is to exit for the other person.
Well, it does break up because I do it for me because I know that I'll get in a conversation and I'll even lose track of the time. And the other person might talk just as much. That will sort of alert everybody, you have to leave.
It's the Midwest goodbye.
Yeah.
Like whenever you're trying to break off a conversation, you're like, all right. And then you walk out and then you have a little more conversation. Then you have a little more conversation. The alarm allows you to just go, oh, dang. No, I have to
leave.
Yeah. And it creates a clean break.
Would you be offended if you found out someone faked a phone call or something to avoid talking to you?
Heck yes, I would. Heck yeah. Just tell me. If I'm being annoying, usually I can read it well enough to be like, look, I'll step away. It's okay. I'm very, very good at reading the room. Like, you definitely know that.
Yep.
Full control over where I'm going in a conversation.
Yep.
So I am offended if somebody's like, oh, man, this guy needs an extra little push to go away. That's because that's what that is.
But if somebody says to you, hey, I really got to run. It was good talking to you. And that's it. Isn't that okay?
Yes, but I also want them to tell me what's going on. You don't have to tell me where you're going.
I was going to say, I'm
what's going on?
If I'm talking to them, they're like, hey, take care. I got to run. I want them to say one more thing.
And then
thing,
they like leave and go stand 10 feet and face the other direction.
Yeah, they're just standing at my mailbox. Like, hey, wait a second.
Well, I think that people over-explain themselves.
I like that.
I bet it you do. Yes, this is an insight here because I, as you guys know, don't do much explaining. I have layers of my interior life that I don't bring to work and don't want to bring to work and don't want to share at work just because I separate it. And I don't feel like anybody should ever sit there and explain to me. If you've got to go somewhere, if you've got to be somewhere, I don't want your explanations. If you want to share it with me because you want to share it with me, okay. But I'm not needing an explanation for your absence or for your departure in order to make it okay with me because it's just like people have things to do. I don't feel the need. I don't need that from people. I would almost just rather, like, I mean, this is all a little bit different than what Kamala did. Kamala was, well, we don't even really know.
I mean, Kamala looks like she was faking avoiding the press.
She looks like it, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, she's not faking avoiding the press. She's absolutely avoiding the press.
She looks like she was faking the reason for avoiding them this time.
I mean, what I'm saying for sure in this instance is if that's what she was doing, I'd rather her just confidently walk past the press, walk up the stairs, turn around and wave, point at a camera and get on the plane. I don't need you to provide me some sort of excuse as to why you did or didn't talk to me. Just do your thing. And then when you want to come talk to me, I'll know it's time to talk. But it, you know, the perceived fake phone conversation to me is it's lame.
It wouldn't even be a news story if she hadn't been constantly avoiding the press up to this moment.
Yeah.
You know, because like they said, other people in Washington do this sometimes. Fine. That's fine. I get it.
What's the angle? Like, what is the angle of not
why did you need to show? Yeah, you think, already avoid like, them. Why is this time?
Are the optics of you ignoring reporters shouting questions that bad that you need to fake a phone call? Because if they are, I got bad news for you.
Also, if you were the vice president of the United States, every time you got on Air Force Two, wouldn't you be like, sorry, guys, got to go to the deuce? Wouldn't that
are
be
you
the,
talking about Air Force Two?
Yeah, Air Force Two. Sorry, guys.
It could be conflicting
getting on the deuce. Because that's really the only reason I want to be the vice president, is so that I can say that to the press.
It's not really stopping you from saying it right now, repeatedly.
You know what I would do is I would get right on that step of that plane. I'd be like, I need to take some questions, and then my alarm would go off. I'd be like, ah, shoot, I gotta go pick up my kid.
Gotta get on the deuce?
Yeah, I gotta get on the deuce.
Go pick up my kid?
Yeah.
Can you think of another time where you've seen a president or a vice president board Air Force One or Air Force Deuce?
The deuce.
On the phone?
No.
Mm-mm.
Even held up to their ear. I mean, the earbuds is what makes it look a little extra. If she uses earbuds, I mean, if you saw President Trump walking out of his vehicle to get on the plane and he was on the phone, I think that would look weird.
That would look weird.
I mean, put your phone in your pocket and be like, I have to walk up these stairs in 60 seconds. I'll pick the phone back up.
And when you're the president, I'm not saying you never make phone calls. Obviously, they make a ton of phone calls. But usually, if you need to meet with a business leader, you can say, hey, I got a 3-hour flight from here to DC today. The business leader joins you on the flight.
Yeah.
You usually don't just call those. They are coming to you to fit into your schedule at all times.
It's just, it's like the put-on-ness of it.
Yeah.
This is what makes everybody go, really? Just do what you've been doing and ignore them and get on the plane.
And it was such an obvious, weird look because of the ear pods, two cords that are not going to the phone, and then on the phone where you probably couldn't hear the phone through the ear pods.
They were
I thought they were plugged into her pocket.
Uh-uh.
No, they were plugged into the phone.
So she was on the phone using the ear pods?
When I saw the video, she had the phone in her hand kind of in front of her. And there were a couple of times where she kind of pushed it up towards her chin. I never saw her holding the phone up like she was talking on the phone while she had the earbuds in.
She pulls it up right as she's walking onto the plane. That's what people are kind of making fun of.
That's because she was probably faking it.
It sounds like we've gotten to the bottom of it.
Grade the Harris-Walz campaign strategy so far. How do the earbuds fit into that campaign strategy? Give her an A for effort on that one. Let us know what you think about the strategy overall on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Vote, leave a comment. We'll give you the results when we come back. Welcome back. When did you guys start school when you were growing up? What do you remember?
I think it was after Labor Day.
Really?
When I was really young, yeah. When I was in kindergarten.
The 40s?
No. I'm not that old.
During the war?
No, that would make me, you know, close to 90.
Okay, we're proud of you.
Ryan was welding ships during the war.
That just shows that it's not the age. It's the mental acuity. And for all intents and purposes, you're doing great.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do look pretty good for 90.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give myself that. When I was in grade school.
You got to take the wins when you can get them, Ryan.
Thank you. Even if they're completely fabricated.
Yeah, this is the first time something about your life has been fabricated on this show.
I do not tell a lie. I am like George Washington in that sense.
So is Joe Biden, according to
George Clooney.
George Clooney.
When I was in kindergarten, my grade school did not have air conditioning still.
Mm.
And then first grade, they added it. So I would have been probably the last generation that ever would have experienced no air conditioning, at least in this part.
You know, that probably has a lot to do with it. I never really thought about that.
That is what it was. Yeah. They started it later because it was just starting to get cool enough that it was okay inside, you know, after Labor Day.
That makes sense because I went to a Catholic school and we didn't start until September. But by the time I was graduating high school, we were well into, like, August 12th was kind of the day. My birthday was the day. But I remember going all through grade school, not even getting a birthday party at school because my birthday party fell in the summer. And then first day of school started getting closer to my birthday. So, and we didn't have air conditioning. I also remember too, we thought it was the greatest thing ever when they said, hey, you can wear shorts with your uniform through the month of September. And then in October, you have to start wearing pants. We thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Did you have a little Dutch boy haircut?
Not quite. Powder blue collared shirt, though.
Uh-huh, with the little shorts tucked in?
Yep, tucked okay. in, belt.
Thank you for the visual, for walking us through that. That was important. Man, we've had some really, really on-the-mark segments today.
Yeah, we have.
Not this one.
No, this one's good, too.
This is a good one?
Yeah, you got to take the wins when you can get them, Annie.
Gosh.
I think that my recollection of school starting was always an August 20th something. And I remember not having air conditioning, and I remember the heat being in the floor. Like water heated flooring.
I can't remember the name of that, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let's spend the next 4 minutes
it's apparently a very green energy way to go, but it's also a very old technology.
I think it was usually under asbestos also.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not as good.
No, not if you like inhale it.
But I think
it was usually an August 20th thing, and we would generally get out the last week of May. I feel like growing up, we used to go like round out the Memorial Day week. That Memorial Day weekend was in the school year, and now it's, for the most part,
yeah,
you're out for at the latest right before Memorial Day.
Well, I think the air conditioning thing is the reason why you used to start later and then go later. But the reason they've backed it up is because Christmas break is going to fall at the same time every year, and it was always weird to come back after Christmas break and do like 1 or 2 weeks of that semester and then restart your semester. So they tried to move it to where Christmas break is the semester break, and it works. You do start. It just feels so strange starting in mid-August, but that's why they do
it. The other side of it is, too, is we don't really live in an agricultural-based society anymore either. You know, you used to have to start school later because kids would have to stay home and actually help on the farm. And that's way back in my
childhood.
That was when Brad was growing up in the teens.
In the teens. Yes. In the aughts.
That was under Taft.
Taft. Yeah. I remember when he got stuck in the bathtub.
Yeah, that was one of those things back then. Everybody joked about Taft getting stuck in the bathtub and going to school late.
You know,
this is a good segment. You're right, Annie.
No, it's not. I'm leaving. I'm just quitting.
Just finish it up.
No, I'm trying to see if there was anything I didn't get to that I wanted to talk about. We have like 30 seconds, which is not enough to talk about the Arlington Cemetery thing. But is this the biggest swing and a miss? Political swing and a miss for the Harris campaign.
Terrible.
That the video, I watched the whole thing. The Washington Examiner on YouTube had a video of all of the Gold Star families replying to Kamala Harris. And I mean, it had me in tears watching them talk just in general about the loss that they have, how painful that must be. But then in addition to it, it is 100%. Unquestionably, the Kamala Harris campaign that has politicized the deaths of these people who they've never acknowledged. And that'll make people mad.
Like to go through it again now, too.
It's unbelievable to me. It's such an unforced error. But I think that when you detest everything that is great about America as much as some of these people do, it's a blind spot. And boy, is it exposed in a really, really big way. Grade the Harris Walls campaign strategy so far, A, B/C, D, or F. Ryan, you were a B/C?
Yeah.
Brad?
D.
I said C-. 15% of you said A. 21% said B/C. 28% D. 37% F. So it's kind of spread out.
Split.
Yeah. Stick around. We'll do... Welcome back. When did you guys start school when you were growing up? What do you remember?
I think it was after Labor Day.
Really?
When I was really young. Yeah. When I was in kindergarten. No. I'm not that old.
During the war?
No, that would make me, you know, close to 90.
It's okay, we're proud of you.
Ryan was welding ships during the war.
That just shows that it's not the age. It's the mental acuity. And for all intents and purposes, you're doing great.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do look pretty good for 90.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give myself that. When I was in grade school.
You got to take the wins when you can get them, Ryan.
Thank you. Even if they're completely fabricated, will take
it. This is the first time something about your life has been fabricated on this show.
I do not tell a lie. I am like George Washington in that sense.
So is Joe Biden, according to
George Clooney.
George Clooney.
When I was in kindergarten, my grade school did not have air conditioning still. And then first grade, they added it. So I would have been probably the last generation that ever would have experienced no air conditioning, at least in this part.
You know, that probably has a lot to do with it. I never really thought about that.
That is what it was. Yeah. They started it later because it was just starting to get cool enough that it was okay inside, you know, after Labor Day.
That makes sense because I went to a Catholic school and we didn't start until September. But by the time I was graduating high school, we were well into, like, August 12th was kind of the day. My birthday was the day. But I remember going all through grade school, not even getting a birthday party at school because my birthday party fell in the summer. And then first day of school started getting closer to my birthday. So, and we didn't have air conditioning. I also remember too, is like, we thought it was the greatest thing ever when they said, hey, you can wear shorts with your uniform through the month of September. And then in October, you have to start wearing pants. We thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Did you have a little Dutch boy haircut?
Not quite. Powder blue collared shirt though.
Uh-huh. With the little shorts tucked in.
Yep. Tucked in, belt.
Thank you for the visual for walking us through that. That was important. Man, we've had Touch some really, here. Really on the mark segments today.
Yeah, we have.
Not this one.
No, this one's good too.
This is a good one?
Yeah, you got to take the wins when you can get them, Annie.
Gosh.
I think that my recollection of school starting was always an August 20th something. And I remember not having air conditioning, and I remember the heat being in the floor. Like water heated flooring.
I can't remember the name of that, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let's spend the next 4 minutes
It's apparently a very green energy way to go, but it's also a very old technology.
I think it was usually under asbestos also.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not as good.
No, not if you like inhale it.
But I think
it was usually an August 20th thing. And we would generally get out the last week of May. I feel like growing up, we used to go like round out the Memorial Day week. That Memorial Day weekend was in the school year. And now it's, for the most part, you're out for at the latest right before Memorial Day.
Well, I think the air conditioning thing is the reason why you used to start later and then go later. But the reason they've backed it up is because Christmas break is going to fall at the same time every year. And it was always weird to come back after Christmas break and do like 1 or 2 weeks of that semester and then restart your semester. So they tried to move it to where Christmas break is the semester break. And it works. You do start. It just feels so strange starting in mid-August, but that's why they do it.
The other side of it is, too, is we don't really live in an agricultural-based society anymore either. You know, you used to have to start school later because kids would have to stay home and actually help on the farm. And
that's way back in my childhood.
That was when Brad was growing up in the teens.
In the teens. Yes. In the aughts.
That was under Taft.
Taft. Yeah. I remember when he got stuck in the bathtub.
Yeah, that was one of those things back then. Everybody joked about Taft getting stuck in the bathtub. And going to school late.
You know.
This is a good segment. You're right, Annie.
No, it's not. I'm leaving. I'm just quitting.
Just finish it up.
No, I'm trying to see if there was anything I didn't get to that I wanted to talk about. We have like 30 seconds, which is not enough to talk about the Arlington Cemetery thing. But is this the biggest swing and a miss?
It's huge.
Political swing and a miss for the Harris campaign.
It's terrible.
That the video, I watched the whole thing, the Washington Examiner on YouTube had a video of all of the Gold Star families replying to Kamala Harris. And I mean, it had me in tears watching them talk just in general about the loss that they have, how painful that must be. But then in addition to it, it is 100% unquestionably the Kamala Harris campaign that has politicized the deaths of these people who they've never acknowledged. And that'll make people mad.
Like to go through it again now, too.
It's unbelievable to me. It's such an unforced error. But I think that when you detest everything that is great about America as much as some of these people do, it's a blind spot. And boy, is it exposed in a really, really big way. Grade the Harris Walls campaign strategy so far. A, B/C, D, or F. Ryan, you were a B/C?
Yeah.
Brad?
D.
I said C-. 15% of you said A, 21% said B/C, 28% D, 37% F. So it's kind of spread out.
Split.
Yeah. Stick around. We'll do.